Yesterday, I had the opportunity to be at Orangevale Baptist Church, and they were ordaining a young man by the name of Ryan Jacob. Now, Pastor YJ, who was pastor for the 12 years, has moved to Texas, and now they're in interim period. And Ryan is a young man, he's in his 30s, got three children. And so they're asked that he be ordained. And I had the privilege of speaking to him. That's what they call it, a charge to the candidate who is being ordained. The scripture that was a text, and I'd like to read it this morning to us, found in 2 Corinthians, or rather 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. Paul writing to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. And this is what he says: I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Now, I'm going to come back to that. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but want to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The first thing that came to me after that service was over, I pick up my phone because I always leave it in the car because I know what's going to happen if I don't. And I look at it, and there's a message from Pastor Steve. He's got the flu. Immediately, this scripture comes to my mind. It says, be instant. No, it said, be ready when? In season and out of season. Now, I don't know if that means when you're young or when you're retired, old, but it says, be ready. I don't think he's just talking only to pastors. He's talking to every one of us. When an opportunity comes, he says, what? Go ahead and say it. Be ready. Be ready when an opportunity comes. Whether it's to help somebody, to share the love of Christ, whatever it is, be ready. Be ready. Doesn't have to be the right time, but it is the right time if the need is there. That's what we want to understand. But note here, he encourages Timothy to stay with the book. He said, preach. Preach the word. Be certain. Now, I want to move into a few of the other words here, which we don't hear a lot about in church much anymore. But he uses these words. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, this morning, I'd like to share something. How many of you know what happened here last night at our church? A few of you. Many of you don't know what happened here, right? Well, let me tell you. There was here our program called Gathering In, which is preparing food for the homeless, and then they stay overnight, leave about 6 this morning. Well, last evening, I don't know how many people actually brought food, but I know this, that of the adults who were here to help, we had 7. 2 under 70. You hear me? 2 under 70. Now, I know that there was also 5 young people. A couple of them here this morning, Crystal, Ron, John. That was it. That was the crowd that was here to serve, stand behind the line. Now, there were others who brought food. Now, I know not everybody's able to be here. But let me ask you a question. Who decided to do it? Did the pastor by himself decide it? No. We decided together that we're going to serve the homeless on the first Saturday of the month. Normally, right? So what I'm saying, folks, is that we need to step up and do what we said. Do you hear me? Go ahead and shake your head this way. At least say you heard me. Now, I believe with all my heart that we don't ever get too old. Now, sometimes we're not able to do everything, and I'm not saying we need to do everything. Because there's going to come a time, I guarantee you, every one of us are not going to be able to do what we might be doing right now. So I'm not saying that you have to do what you can't do. But what I'm saying is let's quit making excuses for what we can do. Because I believe with all my heart, God says, follow me. Follow me. And if we're going to help, then we have to follow him. Serve. God wants us to serve. Now, he also finished that sentence. He said, exhort with great patience and instruction. Now, if you need instructions for what to bring, Camille will be happy to tell you, okay? Because Camille is in charge of our Gathering In program. Now, I don't know how many of you got a phone call from Camille this week? Hold up your hand. Camille, you're not calling enough people. That's the problem, part of it. Now, I believe the pastor announced it, though, last week, didn't he? Didn't he? He did. So, you see, we do get instructions, don't we? Now, Richard, be patient. You know what you need to pray for me? That I won't be too judgmental. Because sometimes I get a little judgmental. People talk about age. And I walk around and I see people who are as old as me and older. And they're still serving. And I say, man, I got to keep going. I was talking to Mom this morning. I said, you know, I don't remember. I've been serving over 50 years, and I don't remember a sabbatical. But I said, I'm going to take a heavenly sabbatical one of these days. Listen, folks, serving the Lord is something that we do all the time. All the time, whether it's in our neighborhood or whether it's in the church. And what I want us to understand is that church is not just attendance on Sunday morning. It's not just attendance on Sunday morning, nor is it this haphazard attendance. Yesterday, when I was preaching, I mentioned the fact, I said, you know, here it says they're going to come together, they won't endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. And I said, you know, there's people who will show up on Sunday, this Sunday, at Orangevale, that's where we're at. Next Sunday, they might be at Rockland. The next Sunday, they might be at Roseville. They're looking for somebody who's going to satisfy what they say. Sing the songs they want to sing. Do whatever they want to. And that's exactly the way it is. We have people come here like that. So I'm getting in my car yesterday after the service, and as I start to unlock the door, the man behind me, he said, I'm one of those guys. He's a friend of the fellow who was being ordained, but he said, I'm one of those guys. And so we had a little conversation about settling down. Listen, folks, you can't serve the Lord jumping from place to place. That's like a jumping bean. We need to settle our feet in this church. Serve the Lord. Stand on the rock. That's what we're to do. Jesus said, the rock, he said the church. He said, this is my church. Very clearly, he said, I will build my church. And he wants us as the family of God to be involved in his church ministry, serving. Now, I want us to go back to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. In Psalm 100, we read these words beginning. He said, shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Serve the Lord. Now, can anybody finish that verse? Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Folks, it's time for us to get excited about doing the Lord's work. Serving the Lord. Now, that's more than coming on Saturday night for the gathering in. That's also helping your neighbors. That's also sharing the Lord Jesus. That's also having a heart that cares about your family. Serving the Lord. But folks, the truth is that many of us serve ourselves a lot more than we do others. Jesus very plainly said, he said, love others as you love who? Who? Self. That's right. Love others. Love others. And Jesus makes this statement as it relates to the words I just read. He said, I came not to be served, but to what? To serve. You remember Jesus on the night when he shared and introduced the Lord's Supper? What did he do? Washed their feet, right? Washed their feet. And he said, if I do this, what's he say? You do it. We're to serve, folks. We're to serve one another in the fellowship. We're also to serve those in the community. God has called us. He's called us to be a light, to be a lamp, to be seen, to bring glory to Him, not to ourselves, but to Him. For He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He didn't say all men are going to come and stay. He didn't say all men are become followers. He said, but if I be lifted up, I will. And people will give attention when He's lifted up. The attention may be to turn away, but they will. And folks, our job is to serve and to serve Him with a glad heart. If that's raking leaves, if that's cleaning the floor. Oh, I got another thing to say. As you go out this morning, I want you to look at the floor. And I want you to ask yourself a question. If this was my front door, would I be happy about it? Folks, I want to tell you, look at the pews. We have a responsibility. Whose house is this? Whose house is this? God's house. Let's treat it like God's house. Let's let people who come into this place know this is God's house. This is God's house. And we believe it's worthy of the best. The best. You may think, well, Pastor Neely is getting a little. I want to tell you, I love you. And I love the Lord. And I believe with all my heart, He wants from you and me our best. You know, we used to sing that, didn't we? Our best for the Lord. That's what He wants. He wants His house to have the best appearance. Read the scripture about the old temple. God wants his best. And what does he want of you and me? To display also the best. That's the reason he asks for purity of character. That's the reason he wants our morals to shine forth, so that we may display his honor. Because the scripture says that you're to be a reflection of whom? Him. The Bible is clear that when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, he comes and lives within. He comes and lives within. And Paul writes, he says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus. He died on Calvary's cross to help you to understand how much he loved you. And if you receive him, have your sins washed away. And the Bible is clear. We don't stay the same. We got to understand it. It's not the same. Just because I've been baptized, I go to church, I can still do everything. Let me tell you an illustration of what happened. I was in Korea, and I was putting on my shoes, my boots, and the houseboy, we called him houseboy then, it was a young Korean boy. He was helping me lace up my boots. And he looked into my face and he said, you are number 10. Some of you are old enough to know what that meant. But he was saying to me, you are the worst. Because you go to church on Sunday, but live like everybody else during the week. You see, I knew better because I grew up in a Christian home. I'd even been immersed but not baptized. I want to tell you, folks, it's not enough to go to church and not reflect the Savior. I say this to young people, I say it to us older folks. We need to let the Word of God transform us. That's what Paul said. Be transformed. And then you know what? You're going to be here on a Saturday night bringing a plate, serving, and saying, hey, I'll get in there and wash dishes. Uh-oh. That's right. I tell you, folks, when God gets a hold of your heart, you won't mind cleaning toilets, washing dishes, raking the yard, or preaching. You'll do it because God got a hold of your heart and changed you. And that's what I'm asking you this morning. Will you let God get a hold of your heart? Will you let him take control and be in charge? Will you say, Lord, here's my life. Here's my life. Take it and use it. This morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a recommitment of your life. You don't have to say a word to me. You just come and you just pray. Say, Lord, now, if you want to talk to me, I'm happy to do it. I just say, Lord, I need a revival in my heart to become all God wants me to be. Will you do that? We're going to stand and we're going to sing. Just let God speak to your heart and bring about what needs to happen so that we can truly become the church God wants us to be.